Johnson and on the free Civic Media app. 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Mostly sunny and pleasant today, with temperatures scraping the low 70s and a south breeze. A few more clouds start to filter in tonight, and tomorrow it'll be partly sunny, with the chance of some scattered showers arriving early evening, after highs reach the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, 67 degrees.
Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Let's get it going. Time for a Monday edition of the show. Your host, James, behind the mic, solo show, but I am not alone. I got all of you to hang out with. Give us a call, 715-424-2600. We are wide open. Hit us in the numbers through the Civic Media app. You can text us as well. Feel free to reach out with all your sports takes and feelings. Do not keep them inside. Let it all out. Want to thank our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, sponsor in the next hour, so we get to hang out with you, talk about some great stuff coming up. We'll get into our schedule in a little bit. We've got some great high school action for you throughout this week. We'll be talking about that. Also, of course, I heard the NFL played over the weekend. They got their season started. We should probably talk about that. Got that going on, of course. And speaking of the NFL, I've got a new poll that we're going to talk about, where we're talking about our four or five major sports and where they rank as far as popularity. A poll finding what is the favorite sport, the favorite pastime here in America. Which one is it? We'll get into that poll a little bit later. Certainly want to talk a little bit about this story that is going on with Los Angeles Clippers and their ownership and Kawhi Leonard, some of those things. We got baseball on the mind as well as we're gearing up for the postseason, all those things going on. All this jammed into an hour, and you are the director. You are the captain of the ship. Oh, captain, my captain, what direction do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Call up and let us know. 715-424-2600. Since the ball is in my hand, I'm going to go ahead and kick things off with NFL talk. And we're doing this show in Wisconsin, so there's only one place to start. Number one, Micah Parsons. Number one for number one over the weekend, getting his first sack for the Green Bay Packers. And this was going to happen, whether it was today or it was his 11th game, his old number. But I hope that Packers... So I've been watching Micah Parsons really closely since Penn State, like a lot of people. I'm not saying that like I'm alone in that. A lot of people have been watching it. But one of the things that I don't think that gets talked about enough with him is something that makes me think of running backs. And how he slides in between tackles, how slippery he can be. And if I wanted to give you an example of this in his whole entire career, and man, has he had a lot of these sacks, and man, has he had a nice career. That sack that he had on Sunday, his first sack, his first official sack as a Green Bay Packer, I think is the perfect example of a Micah Parsons sack. What makes him stand out so different? Why is he different? Why is he better than the others? Once he got going, you saw a little bit of it. Once he got his sea legs under him, if you will, you saw what he could do. You saw why he is a difference maker. You saw why he's worth two first-round picks, why he is worth a first-rounder in Kenny Clark in the regard of what he meant to that locker room, and all those things. You see that. You saw that on the first game. And I did not hear any of the announcers talking about this. He hasn't been there for a month yet. He hasn't even had that long to look at this playbook yet. The coaching staff has not had that much time to, what can we do with this talent? What can we do with this piece? I mean, think about if you were given a skill set just out of the blue. All of a sudden, you could speak any language you want, anytime. That is pretty dang cool. Oh, we're going to make some good use of that. And you do your first couple of weeks with it or whatever, and you're having fun and everything. And then years into it, you start to realize, oh, I can use this power for this. I can use it for that. They haven't even had a month with this guy yet. And that's the kind of stuff that they're rolling up. That's the kind of thing that they're doing. So Micah Parsons, certainly story number one in an incredible, opening game, I think. You turned one of the better offensive lines in football into, looking like they were in week one, that's for sure. Because it is week one, and nobody wants to get too crazy about any of this. But regardless, you can only work with the data you've got. Now, if you want to buy, you know, sell your Detroit Lions stock, I'll buy some of it because I'm not going to not believe in the Detroit Lions after what they have turned around in that organization. I think if you want to do that, I think you're more so waiting. You've been waiting for this, and now you've just seen your little tiny crack in the foundation, and you're able to cut in. I don't know how any legitimate brain can think that Detroit is going to completely fall off. Does that mean they're going to go to the playoffs? Does that mean that they're going to be, you know, a playoff contender? I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that the Packers are going to be either, or any of these teams. But I have a hard time believing with that coach and the way that that team has played for the last four or five seasons that they're going to be a cakewalk anytime you play them. Or you're going to come out of a Detroit game and feel like, huh, we played football today, didn't even feel it. You're going to feel it. Whether that makes them good or not, I think that they got some growing pains to go through, like a lot of teams do. I think that they're kind of lost in a little bit of the story of Micah Parsons, and understandably so, was a couple of key things on the offensive side. You know, certainly Jordan Love performing the way he did. He is a little banged up, and it didn't look like it. I thought his body language, his leadership on the on and off was a lot different this year. Like last year, you saw a little bit of it, but I still felt like I saw a lot of bad body language and a lot of times where it seemed like he was blaming others. This, even in week one here, seeing a different difference in that. But Jaden Reed had a nice touchdown, I believe a 17-yarder, and missed most of the preseason with a foot injury, was questionable coming into the game. So I thought the offense showed a lot. I thought those wide receivers showed you quite a bit. And again, that defense, they have not even scratched the surface yet. So very impressive. Very impressive week for them. And I would say this, Detroit tried to make a comeback, had a couple of nice plays. There were a couple of fourth down conversions that I don't think many Packer fans were very happy about. And I heard Matt LaFleur, I wanted to hear if he talked about these things in the press conference. And two quick notes about Matt LaFleur's press conference. One, I don't know if I've ever heard him happy. Like, that he was happy at the end of that. He was, during the major press conference he did at the game, he was happy. And he made it very clear that he was. He was smiling a lot. Even, I think he even referenced that he felt happy, felt good. And certain, and I understand why. But I didn't realize we've never seen him happy. We've seen him smile. We've seen him making jokes. We've seen him barter back and forth with, you know, everybody from Dan Patrick to your local Green Bay Gazette writer. But I don't think we've seen him happy. He was almost giddy. So that was kind of interesting and cool to see. Good for him and certainly and everything. But he mentioned a word that I want to bring up and I want to use it to tie it into, I think, the game of the week. And yes, I know that there's still one more game to be played. I don't think that Chicago and Minnesota, while it could be a very good game, and I hope it really is, I don't think it's going to be Baltimore-Buffalo and what that was last night. And a quick stat, courtesy of the internet and a couple of other sources out there, because I don't even remember where I heard this, but it may have been during the game last night. Collinsworth or Tirico might have said it, but 8 times the Ravens have lost when they had a win probability of over 90%. 8 times. And this has all been in the Jim Harbaugh era. And I don't believe that anybody in the world is going to question Jim Harbaugh as a head coach. I think he's a very good coach. Would love to have him on my team. When it comes to that, there is something that happened. And again, Matt LaFleur referenced this during, I believe he was talking about the third quarter into the fourth. There was a lull. L-U-L-L, a lull. And this happens in football, especially if you have a lead. You see this happen all the time. And I don't believe this is at all players. I could be completely wrong, and I would eat my words if I am. But you see what the Ravens did, especially in their last drive, where they were basically going to try to get a first down and not fumble the ball or throw an interception. They were playing not to lose. The lull is part of that. The lull happens when the game almost gets redundant or boring to these coaching staffs. because they play so much in the numbers. They play so much between some of these things of the different, you know, knowing what an upset is and knowing how, oh, this team blew that lead and I don't want to be that team. And so last night, after teaching, I get a chance to catch some of this game. And it's one of the best games I've seen in a while. It's the game of the week, I think. Just my opinion, but I think it was the game of the week. It was back and forth. You had two of the best, if not the best, quarterbacks in the game just destroying the other team's defenses. You had Derrick Henry, just a bull. A bull among calves, just destroying what it is that football is. And what we understand it to be, not just because of the way he was dominating on the field, but at the age he's doing it at. And if you've been watching Derrick Henry like I have, basically since you were seeing high school highlights of him, it's insane that he's still able to do this at that age. But Baltimore is rolling, and they're not taking their foot off the gas. And then Derrick Henry fumbles the ball. And this is, you know, an odd occurrence. It doesn't happen that often. But that happens, and all of a sudden that coaching staff, whether it was subconscious or not, whatever they were thinking or feeling, the way it came across, they got scared. They got scared. And this lull is part of that. When teams get the lull, when they hit that wall, they get scared. And I do not know any scenario or how any of these coaches can look at their players, can look at the fan base, look at the ownership, and with looking them in the eyes and say, we were playing not to lose. Because at every other point in the game, it is go, 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 go. Any other point in the game, it is score, score, score. Why at the end of the game, when you are trying to put it away, would you all of a sudden become pacifists? It makes no sense. Now, the Green Bay could have had that happen to them. We could be talking about them right now, leading our show with that, if, you know, Detroit was able to get some of those fourth downs and get a little momentum. But Green Bay did not let the lull take them. And they caught their momentum, got a couple of first downs, kept the lead, kept the win. Baltimore 8 times has not been able to do this. And I do not believe that this is a player's problem. The players only can do what the coaches are telling them to. You can call as many audibles as you want at the line of scrimmage. They're going to pull you. I don't care if you're Lamar Jackson or you're me. You go out there and you run the plays they tell you to. And they darn sure do it on defense. And don't get it twisted. I'm not just talking about offense, because that's where all the attention goes. Oh, they played not to win, you know, not to lose on the offensive side. They do it on defense too. They stop taking chances. They throw the safeties back. The corners are playing hesitant. Everybody's acting like that they're playing the first time they learned how to play football. That's not how you win. It is remarkable to me that you could have the talent and the confidence to play this game, to be able to do what you're doing, but not have the confidence to coach your team to victory, to not believe in these players enough. What is the downside? Say you go all in, you keep playing your game, and you do fumble. Well, you fumbled anyway. You do throw an interception. That happens. Get out there and get it back on defense. Go out there and win the game. How many horror movies do you have to see where the bad guy, oh, we got the bad guy, he's dead. Nope, hand out of the ground, he's coming for you. Empty the clip. Make sure that he is not coming back for a sequel. Put him down and just continue to keep moving. That lull, it drives me crazy. It makes no sense to me. And there is no stat that you could show me. I don't care if it's 100% of the time, which obviously it wouldn't be. But even if you skewed the numbers as much as you can, I'd still laugh at you and tell you I've never seen a champion take their foot off the gas. I've never seen a champion not fight. How many Super Bowls have you seen won because the team had kept the ball at the end of the game and didn't, you know, hand it off or didn't turn, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I am not a Ravens fan. It may sound like that. I don't mind the Ravens. I have nothing against them, but I'm not a Ravens fan. I get so frustrated when I see teams that you see it and you know what's happening. You can tell right from there. If I was a betting man, I would have been all over whatever, you know, stuff, draft whiz kid guy thing or whatever app there is. And betting the house that Buffalo was going to win that game. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm hoping one of you is going to call up and fight me on this because I would like to know the other side of this. I would like to know what I'm not seeing. But I don't. I feel like, no, there isn't one. An incredible game by Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Both of them, just incredible game. You know, what really stood out to me about those performances is how much of a difference it really does make when you have had a chance to play with each other. Like so many, these teams are pretty complete. There's some new players here and there, but both these teams have been playing together for quite some time. These players, I mean, have been playing together for quite some time. We saw a lot of bad football week one. We saw it in college football especially, but we saw it in the NFL too. There's a lot of bad football yesterday. And it's in part because these guys don't have a lot of chance to play together. Some guys are new. Injuries, all of that. Baltimore and Buffalo last night looked like they were in week four. Like they had been playing already for a while. Like, you guys, are you ready to catch up to us? Because... And two very locked in, very determined teams. Buffalo has its own history that most of you know, and if you don't, you're a Googler away from finding it out. But Baltimore's recent history really makes it hard for me to bet on them to be in the AFC Championship game, let alone winning it, let alone winning a Super Bowl, which is the expectation for that team. There is nothing less. Not only because they've won twice before, but because this team has been built for this for a while. It's why they signed Derrick Henry. It's why they made the moves that they have. But again, eight times the Ravens have lost when they had a win probability of over 90%. You don't see that stat very often. You don't see that too often. But again, Josh Allen's year just keeps getting better and better. Got married over the summer. We've never seen Josh Allen this kind of happy or smile this much, and certainly after that game. I gotta say, it's almost unfair, though, when you're that kind of happy. Because say he loses the game. Well, for him, he's still going home to his best friend, his beautiful wife, all that. Like, if you're Josh Allen, there's a reason to be smiling all the time. It's like, well, okay, we won the game, and that's very important to me. That's my job. But I get to go home to that. And I'm cool either way, guys. I'm good. It's very cool for them. Very cool to see that play out the way it did. I would have honestly said the same thing about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's got an amazing wife as well, and gets to go home with that. So, you know, hopefully that would make losing a little bit easier, I would think. Wanted to touch on this poll before we go to our first timeout of the first quarter. The new NFL season is kicked off. And in case there was any doubt, a new poll found that, yes, football is still America's favorite sport. And maybe the more surprising part is how it ain't even close. 48% of Americans follow football at least a little bit. That's almost 20 points higher than second place. Here are the 10 sports that they asked about and how many of us pay attention to each one of them. Again, football at number one, 48%, almost 50% of people follow this sport. Everybody else, Canadian football. No, I'm joking. I don't know. I know a couple of Canadians. They don't follow Canadian football. They could not tell you much about it, actually. Baseball comes in at number two at 29%. But let's be honest that the reason we call baseball America's pastime is because we've always called it America's pastime. It's a little similar to the Dallas Cowboys being called America's team. Like, nobody actually believes they're America's team, but we've just been calling them that for so long, people just still call them that. Baseball, which I love and I enjoy, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, that is not America's pastime, and it hasn't been for quite some time. And baseball has nobody to blame but itself for that. In a race, if you're ahead and you're running your race, you should win. If you don't, I want to know why. Did you slow down? Did you get injured? What happened? Baseball hurt itself with its strikes, with steroids, with the doubt, with so many other scenarios. It did it to itself, and it's got to dig itself out of it. Also at 29% is basketball. And technically tied for second, basketball, baseball, both at 29% and both watched and taken in the same. I don't think that basketball players are as loved as baseball players, and that's a deep conversation that can go on for days. But as far as our attention, as far as how much we watch these sports, baseball, basketball, they're tied. Ice hockey comes in at 12%, way down there, along with soccer. Golf is at 11%, auto racing at 10%, tennis at 9%, MMA at 8%, and wrestling also at 8%. And a third of Americans, 32%, said that they don't follow any of those sports. But they do follow sports. So I'm guessing that that group of people, which I would love to talk to, and I would do a half an hour talking to them about whatever sport they want to talk about. You want to talk about death, cliff diving? The World Tag Championships? Because, yes, there is a World Tag League where tag is grown men. Yeah, I think there was a couple women in there, too, but I almost don't want to lump them in with this. But I know that there was at least the professional, grown-up men chasing each other around a jungle gym, basically, to playing tag. That is a sport just as much as bags or horseshoes or so many others. So maybe it's one of them. You can find the complete article and survey if you'd like at YouGov.org. Big shout out to them. A great resource for many, many content, many segments, but also the data that we get from these different surveys they do really does actually help out with a lot of different things. But this is a survey, and they're asking a blind survey that they're asking a lot of other people. What is your favorite sport? And I was thinking of this when I first came across the article, and I always look up, whenever I'm doing a survey, you can guarantee that I've looked at like three or four different articles when it comes to that survey, because I like to make sure that we're, you know, able to back these things up and all that. That little thing of fact kind of matters to me, you know. It's weird, but I know. I'm old school. What do I know? I'm old school. When it comes to looking into this and all that, what I was thinking of was, well, I know that I love boxing, and I love hockey, and I love track and field. Those may be my favorite sports, you know. But I love football. And man, do I like basketball. And when I thought about sports that I love as opposed to the sports I like to watch, because I love playing baseball. I love being in the game. I miss it all the time. Anytime I'm going past a baseball field, I think about being out in left field or leadoff hitting, stealing a base. Oh, stealing a base. Yeah, nothing like it. Nothing like it. I'm going to miss it the rest of my life because there ain't no way I can do it anymore. I could try. I don't know how that go. I mean, I ain't in bad shape, but I don't know if I'm in, 16-year-old me shape when I was doing those things. But watching baseball doesn't have the same love and energy to me. I find it a lot of fun, but I don't know. I think a great example of this is bowling. I love bowling. Bowling's fun. I enjoy it. I like all the parts of it. I like any part of bowling. Maybe the shoes is a little here or there, but I don't care. I got clown shoes for feet. What do I care? But watching bowling, my papa and my dad will sit there. And every Sunday, you know, after, you know, when CBS or anybody, whoever it was, didn't have an NFL game or a secondary game, they'd go to bowling. Man, they were in heaven. My papa and my dad would watch every single game that they could. and loved it. Where I couldn't, I like bowling. I think it's fun to play. I don't have a lot of interest in watching it. And that's nothing against bowling or anybody that does. I think a similar thing could be golf. I bet golf doesn't seem like it's, it seems like it could be fun to play. You know, I get my swing down, I get out there. I already wear crazy clothes, so I feel like I'd fit right in on a golf course. Maybe for the first time in my life, I might actually like blend in, dress with the way I dress and everything. But watching golf, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty tough to get me to watch. So, what is your favorite sport to watch? What is your favorite sport to, you know, take in or play? Let us know. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We're going to get into our schedule when we get back. We got to talk about that. Really would like to, I'm looking forward to talking Wednesday with Michael about some of the high school games that happened over the weekend, including some surprises that happened. So looking forward to diving into that with him. And certainly want to talk to you. What's on your mind? Let us know. Join the conversation. Hit us in the numbers. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Can, of course, call or text us through the Civic Media app. And we'll talk to you soon right here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing at 105.5 WIRI.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc., for the hero in you.
This is 105.5 WIRI. WIRI on your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug to driving, and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. After the chilly temperatures as of late, warmer readings are on the way this week. Some showers and storms late tonight and into tomorrow. Low tonight, mid-50s, high in the low 70s tomorrow. Highs climb up into the 80s by the later part of the week. It's 69 degrees right now.
Country favorites and classics for all of Central Wisconsin. You've got them right.
Okay, all right. Easy over there. Easy. I don't know what happened with the system right there, but it was not working with me. All right, easy. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody, here at 105.5 WIRI. Hope you all are having a great Monday afternoon. Thanks for kicking off your week with us. We're here to talk sports. We speak sport here at Playmakers, all thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Big thank you to them for sponsoring the hour. We appreciate them. Call up and join the conversation. We want to hear from you. Hear your sports takes and feelings. We're looking forward to it. I want to talk a little Badgers as we kind of do a... Pam mentioned this earlier this morning, and I wanted to make sure to note it. If you were a Wisconsinite and you're a sports fan, it had to feel pretty good coming in Monday, coming into work or running into your Packer friends or Badger fans or Brewer friends that, you know, maybe you didn't get to see over the weekend or something like that, or when you were texting or messaging back and forth. It had to be a pretty darn good weekend. Brewers, we'll talk about a little bit later, but referring to the Wisconsin Badgers, a nice weekend for them. The scoreboard will show you that, the victory over Middle Tennessee State. A nice one, you know. You beat a team 42-10, like you should. That's going to be good. I think that if you watch the game and you look at the highlights, it didn't feel as good until things really started getting rolling in the third quarter there. After that, it was a different ball game. It felt a little bit different, I'm sure. But a nice win for Wisconsin, especially leading into, you know, arguably the biggest game of the season for them, as they are heading to Mobile, to take on Alabama. And when they do that, they're going to be bringing my favorite Badger for the last two seasons. That is Tretch Kakahuna. And I don't know if you can call him your favorite player if you can't pronounce his name. This kid had a real, like, he's had some nice games. I believe he was Big Ten Freshman of the Week or something last year. Maybe even around this time, or maybe it was later in the season. I don't quite remember, but he's had some games. But I feel like this was a game last night that he really showed you he could be a real difference maker for that team. When you're talking about, trying to get more of a running game going, and when you do pass the ball, you're either throwing it in the numbers in between the hedges there, or you are throwing it deep. And this is a kid that is willing to do, go out for that ball no matter what. He's like 5'10", 5'11". He plays like he's 6'3". This is a fun player, and it was really fun to see him have a great game. How are you feeling after that game, Badger fans, and how are you feeling going into the Alabama game? Now, of course, as we talked about quite a bit, Alabama, who over the last couple of years have added championships to their roster or to their legacy that are a little bit questionable, some of those, and certainly have had a very different last year and opening couple weeks than they have in years past. But after a upset in week one, which I have a feeling by the end of the season nobody's going to look at as an upset. I know Florida State wasn't ranked, but we've already seen that they're a lot better than they were last year, and maybe they should have been ranked. But regardless, Alabama got whooped, and then they kind of righted the ship a little bit this past weekend. And Wisconsin is coming in 2-0, and I think it's proven that they can win in a number of different ways. And you're not playing, it's not so much you're not playing your dad's Alabama. You're not playing your Alabama from a couple of years ago. They're still, this is still in our timeline here and everything. So I'm not saying that the Badgers are going to win. I could easily see that this game is not going to be a blowout. It could be. And, come next Monday, you go ahead and you play this back and you laugh at me all you want. But I think the way that Wisconsin is playing this so far this season, and to be fair, the way Alabama has played so far this season, I think you could have a good game this Saturday. 9 a.m., our coverage will start, as we are the home of your Wisconsin Badgers. And certainly football, but not just football. We'll be covering hockey and basketball all season long. A lot to talk about with those teams, both on the men's and women's sides. So looking forward to that. And we may even get some volleyball on the radio. Who knows? The Lady Badgers volleyball team last year really made a nice run. Really nice run. And you're talking about one of the more bigger, more popular growing sports in all of sports, in women's volleyball. Go ahead and look at some of the attendance numbers they've gotten for some of the volleyball matches that they've had in the Big Ten here. They've broken some records with those. And it's a good time for us to be playing and getting into the volleyball game as well, as we are covering volleyball around here. We got our game number 2 coming up tomorrow, everybody. 6:50, right here at 105.5. Newman, Catholic, will be taking on Assumption. Girls volleyball, Mike and Beth and Seth will have that one for you. They did a great job the first time. We thought, well, let's give them another one. Why not? I was going to take it over, but I'm like, you know what? No, they earned this. And nobody wants to hear me talk volleyball. So that those two factors, and they're much better at it than I would be. Those three factors, I also have rehearsals that night. Those four factors, we're looking forward to tomorrow night's game. I am excited about it. I like volleyball on the radio. Certainly, you know, if you can be there, get to the game, get over there to Assumption and check out this game. We always encourage you to be at these games if you can to support these kids in these schools. But we got your back if you can't. We'll have it right here on the dial, which, of course, you can get on the Civic Media app. Thank you so much, everybody who's downloaded that app. How are you feeling about your Badger team so far this season? You know, more of the same that you've been feeling over the last couple of years? Have they done anything to kind of show you different? And as week one is wrapping up in the NFL, how do you feel about your NFL teams? Certainly, we're doing this show in Wisconsin. I'm expecting to hear from Green Bay fans, but if you're a fan of another team, I don't mind. And Packer fans, if you don't like it, well, then fill up the time. Call in. Want to hear from you. I'm begging you to call in. Call fired in. I'm praise. Otherwise, want to hear from you on what you think of your teams. I will say this. I think that it's weird to get what you expect in life. Am I alone in this? Like, I don't know the last time that really happened for me that, or it has happened that for me that often. And kind of what I expected in week one of the NFL is kind of what happened. I'm not saying that like I predicted anything. I think there's a billion people out there that could have told you the very same thing. We're going to see some teams that look like they need another couple weeks of preseason. And we're going to see some teams that are going to do what they're supposed to do. But nobody surprised me. There was nothing about yesterday's results or even going back to Thursday and Friday's games that surprised me. San Diego has been a team we just got done. We're two seasons removed from making fun of San Diego losing all these close games, and you know, oh, it's just the coaching staff and that. Well, you bring in a coach like Jim Harbaugh, you should see some change. And yeah, I know Harbaugh's. Seth and I were talking about this before and everything this morning, I should say. Jim Harbaugh likes to run the ball, likes to win with defense. Jim Harbaugh's not an idiot. He's got a Maserati in his garage. He's not going to drive it 20 miles an hour. He's going to give Justin Herbert the keys and let him, again, go. And I don't know. Jim Harbaugh might be just like his brother and one of those coaches that plays not to lose. But I don't remember that about him. I would say that is a giant difference between those two. Along with the height, they seem to be two different heights, too. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it feels like they are. Maybe it's just the older brother in me that is looking at it that way. I don't know. It might be a little skewed. I also haven't slept in a while, so it could be a little bit of column A, a little column B on that one. But it's not surprising to see San Diego beat Kansas City to me, especially the way that they did. We're still, we were told that Kansas City was going to be going back to that old offense, and then they had a bunch of receivers either get suspended or injured, and, well, of course they're not going to look like. They're going to look like they have in the last couple of seasons. I don't know that there was anything that shocked me, but I would love to know from you, was there anything that shocked you? 715-424-2600. I think maybe the most shocking thing is that the NFL decided that they're going to kick off their NFL season, Monday Night Football, first show of the year, Chicago and Minnesota? Like, and that's coming from a Chicagoan. Like, really? All right. I mean, I guess if you don't care about ratings, that ain't a big deal to you, I suppose. And I don't know how much these they care about cable ratings or anything anymore, or streaming ratings. Half these numbers they can't even get right anyway. And a lot of these companies would surprise you how they don't know how to collect that data. So I don't know. But I'm excited. Got rehearsal tonight for On Golden Pond, our first play for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater this year. And actually, it's go time for us. We got a performance opening night at the end of the month here, and getting my team ready. And as the director, as the head coach, I can tell you that I am coaching them just like I would if they were athletes. So that means, yes, I'm making them run laps. I am testing them. I'm not doing any of those things. But I am teaching, I am talking to them and teaching them through scenes and working with them and listening to them about their things and the things that they're teaching me. And I tell you one thing that I say over and over again, and I've said it before, they say the whole world is a stage, but not everybody is willing to act on it. What anybody does on a community theater level all the way to an Oscar-winning film, to go out there and do that is brave, and it's a different type of brave. And in order to do it, you can only go one speed. You got to go all in, and you have to put your foot on the gas. Acting is about reacting, not thinking. You start thinking on stage, and you're it ain't good. You got to react. You got to be in the moment. I don't think sports is that different when it comes to that part of it. You have to be all in. You have to be in the moment. You have to give everything you got. It's the only way to do these things, especially at this level. A lot of you might have heard some of the pieces that were done this weekend, and one of them in particular where they were talking about quarterbacking and offensive line play. And I heard an offensive lineman say something along the lines of, if you're a quarterback and you count to four, you know you're going to get hit. You just know you're going to get hit. So think about that. 4 seconds. 4 seconds to do all your checkdowns, to read the defense, to move again, to keep moving. Oh, God, I got to move again. He's 350 pounds and he runs a 4.5. How is that possible? You don't have time to think about that because 3 seconds have already gone by and your receiver's window is all gone and boom. And you're down. That's it. That 350-pounder, he's laying on you doing a dance now because he just got a sack. That's the job. You can't do a job like that passively. You can't do a job. The coolest, calm, collected quarterbacks we've ever seen. I would go back to Dan Marino. I don't know if I've seen a cooler quarterback in that regard. Just in the sense, I don't mean looks and his appearance, although Dan had his style and everything. I mean the way he played the game. I never felt like I saw Dan Marino stressed out. I didn't get to see him in the one Super Bowl they were in. But Dan Marino always seemed to be in control. Peyton Manning, you know, outside of a couple of outbursts on the sidelines, as far as on the field, don't feel like I ever saw him sweat from Tennessee on up. I mean, you got to be okay with that. You've got to be all in about those things. And going back to whether it's the Ravens or it is, some of these teams in basketball that do this. You know, it was one of my problems with Coach Budenholzer with Milwaukee, and part of the reason why, even though he won a championship, I didn't cry him going away, and I still haven't. Because I don't think, I will say that I didn't know they were going to replace him with somebody who also can play scared sometimes in Doc Rivers. And please understand, I am not saying any of this like I know these individuals or I know their thought process. I don't like the idea of trying to act like we know what's going through a person's head or heart. I'm commenting on the reactions, the aftermath of these things. And when I am watching them, what I'm seeing. And with these coaching staffs, they remind me of the person at the end of the horror movie. The villain's down, and now everything is go-lucky, and everybody's happy. And there's nothing to worry about. We could all sing Kumbaya. Oh, wait, the villain's back. Kind of reminds me of that. This idea that you can just skate to the win. Like the other team isn't paid just as much money to win this game. And maybe a little bit different than some other scenarios when it comes to Baltimore. The fact that it's happened 8 times, and we're talking over a long stretch of time too. Since 2021. So for five seasons, this has been happening to Baltimore. And you can go ahead and point to players, and I'm not going to fight you on that so much, but you can blame players all you want. They're not calling the plays. I don't know. I don't see that them being necessarily the guilty party in this, although you can say that there's plenty of choking that happens with players. I don't know if that's something that's quick and easy for us as sports fans to say. And some, you know, fool like the Baylesses and people like that, the cowards in the world and everything, anybody basically on Fox, that's all they got. They're like these insult comics. You know, ask them to do something other than insulting somebody and they can't tell a joke. They don't know what to do. They're not actually funny. These sports take artists, I don't know what they are, clowns. That's all they can do is look for the negative side of things or try to, you know, say something a little bit different than other people aren't or what have you. I don't I don't know how you can't learn from this and how you don't see that this has been happening and change it. It's going to be really interesting to see how the rest of the season goes to start off your season that way as well. For Baltimore and where they go from there. Gonna be interesting. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We want to speak sport with you. I got a superstition story I want to get into. We'll see if we have time for it or not. And I want to touch on this situation going on with the NBA salary cap, Kawhi Leonard. And of course, if I just told you those two things, you didn't know anything about basketball. And I told you that there is a big controversy going on in the NBA right now. It involves Kawhi Leonard. What team would you think I was going to say? Tell me you wouldn't say the LA Clippers. You're right. Oh, wait a minute. Let me make this official. You were right. Let me get that. Yeah. Nicely done, everybody. I heard you all think of the Clippers. And if you weren't, you still get the points. Yeah. Very interesting story going on with that one. The LA Clippers and team owner Steve Ballmer reportedly have been accused of circumventing the NBA salary cap by paying $28 million to Kawhi Leonard for a no-show job. Pablo Torre, podcaster with Meadowlark Media, did a great report on this. Has done his homework. One of the better journalists, really, in that world, in that version of that game right now. And with that, they just brought on a whole storm of you can see when billionaires really don't have anybody, like they got nothing but yes men around them, like Mark Cuban and some of these people, where nobody could seem to get in front of them and tell them, like, you realize all you're doing is showing us more and more and more that you're afraid of the, you know, them finding the smoking gun on you. Like, tell me you're guilty without telling me you're guilty of something. Because if I'm the NBA commissioner or I'm anybody in the league's office, every one of these people coming out of the woodworks to defend Steve Ballmer or real quickly jump on this train of his, on the Ballmer train or anything like that, man, to me, I don't know. Sure don't look good. Because it's really hard to imagine. I imagine that every single owner in sports history, from the very first sports team to now, has thought about ways that they could get around the salary cap. But they don't do it. They may want to. They may think about it. But there's a whole different ball game of that. I would like to take my life savings and spend it all on a, you know, Simpsons one-man show, or, you know, maybe a company that tours, you know, adult bouncy houses. We just tour, you know, the city, tour the whole state with them. We'll do parties and bar mitzvahs. I don't know. It's not a good business idea. I tell you, I know. That's why I wouldn't do it. But it feels, honestly, they've thought about these things. Steve Ballmer is just going to go ahead and do it. Because here's another thing that I don't feel like enough people are referring to, as we're going to be seeing a huge change in all of sports. not only are we more and more getting away from the mom and pop owners, the only people that can afford these teams now are these billionaires. And sometimes it takes multiple billionaires to own these teams. But don't turn your eye away from the oil money and the Middle East money that is going to be coming into sports as they try to whitewash some of that. It's already happening in college football, and you're going to see it more and more. Notice how you don't hear a lot of reporting on that from ESPN. Kind of interesting. Now, don't hear a lot of people following that story. But as that happens more and more, you're going to have more and more ownership and more people that are not used to being told no. That are not used to not being able to get away with it. Because they're billionaires and they get away with everything. So I think the funniest thing to me about this story is not just that it's the LA Clippers, who have always been the kind of, you know, one of the jokes of the NBA. But the surprise of so many people when it comes to this story, and that regardless if it's the Clippers or it's the, you know, a make-believe team, of course they're going to do this. Of course they will, and of course they're going to do it again. This is not the last time you'll hear a story like this. And whether it's trying to circumvent the salary cap or, you know, win a player over or keep him or, you know, locking a player in the house with you and not letting him leave until free agency ends, like we've heard about the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, how can you be surprised? These billionaires are not used to being told no. They get away with whatever they want. Every government that comes in, and this isn't a Republican or Democrat thing, every one of them seems to just give them a skate by when it comes to paying their taxes. Of course they're going to do stuff like this. What I will find maybe the most interesting part of it is, because it does look like they've got evidence on this, what will be the punishment? Because it is not Adam Silver making this decision. Adam Silver's bosses will be making this decision. Steve Ballmer's colleagues, the other owners, the other billionaires. I think when you see that he gets a slap on the wrist, because that's what I believe could happen here, could happen, not saying going to, but could happen. You see a slap on the wrist, I think that is all of these owners telling you, don't look in our closet. Do not look in our closet. We got some skeletons. No skeletons in this closet. No skeletons. What are you talking about? Let's move on. Hey, NBA season. Woo, let's play. We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back. More Playmakers on 105.5 WIRI.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Friends of Rapids Music presents Music Fest 2025 at Robinson Park on September 20th. Enjoy a full day of live local music. a fun-filled kids zone, and plenty of food and drinks. Don't miss crowd favorites like the Beer and Pretzel Polka Band, the Monday Night Takeout Band, a soulful folk and blues band, and the electrifying Adam Gruhl and the Space Burritos. Robinson Park will come alive with the sounds of the city, so turn up the volume and dance along. Join the celebration from 12 till 9 p.m. September 20th. Free and fun for the whole family.
Are you looking for ways to give back to your local community? Use VolunteerWisconsin.org to find opportunities to volunteer your time with organizations making a difference near you. As we celebrate United Ways Month, we're also celebrating you. Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center to find out more about local opportunities to get involved. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
105.5 WIRI is your home for country favorites and classics and high school sports. Mike and Randy bring you the action all season long. Proudly brought to you by Rodeo Grill, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Junkyard Bar & Grill, 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., and Rapids Transmission. WIRI sincerely appreciates the support of our local businesses. Call 715-424-1300 if your business would like to help bring these games to our listeners. 105.5 FM or on to the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. After the chilly temperatures as of late, warmer readings are on the way this week. Some showers and storms late tonight and into tomorrow. Low tonight, mid-50s, high in the low 70s tomorrow. Highs climb up into the 80s by the later part of the week. It's 69 degrees right now.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers at 105.5 WIRI. Hope you guys are having a great Monday night out there. Thank you so much for listening and hanging out with us. Just got a couple of minutes left of show. We will take you to the top of the hour. I believe Laura's here with some great tracks for you coming up. I see some Zach Brown Band on the way. Right on. Faith Hill. Good stuff coming up for you. Be sure to stick around for that, everybody. In the couple minutes we have, did want to touch on the Brewers and this wonderful season that they are having. It is interesting to see some guys, kind of having a bit of a slowdown, if you will, and then other guys picking up where they left off, and then kind of it all coming together a little bit as it has. Jacob Mizrowski having a turnaround game and playing very well. Encourage you to check out an article and maybe do a little homework, if you will, on an article we'll touch on next week, later this week, probably on Friday's show. David Schofield has a great article on ESPN about teams and why each 25 MLB contender can or can't win it all. I want to take some time, read that article, and get into that a little bit on some of it, what we agree with, what we don't. So get your notes together, and we will go over that on Friday, probably. And on Wednesday, when Michael Comer joins us, our sports director around these parts, we'll be talking, certainly we're talking football. Michael was at the game. Appreciate him sending me a shot from there. It was fun. Also want to talk about that, but also want to talk high school football with him and high school sports. By then, he'll have that next volleyball game under his belt. Him and Beth will have that under their belt. Because tomorrow, 6:50, Newman, Catholic at Assumption, girls volleyball, Mike, Beth, Seth, going to tag team that one for you. You know it's going to sound good. Looking forward to all that. Wednesday, we'll be back here from 4 to 5 with more Playmakers. Get your sports takes and feelings ready for that. And on 97.5 FM WFHR on Wednesday at 7:05, got the Luke Fickell Show. Curious to hear what Coach has to say about that game, especially that first half of that Middle Tennessee game. And if they feel like they righted the ship. We got more Playmakers for you on Friday from 4 to 5. And then we will lead you in. We'll be your tailgate for football, high school football, 6:50, Wetoma at Nakusa. Mike, Randy, Seth, going to have that one for you. And, of course, Badger football on 97.5 FM WFHR, 9 a.m. kickoff against Alabama this Saturday. We'll be back on Wednesday. Have a good day. Have a good night, everybody.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Monday evening. I hope y'all are well. Let's get things started with the Zach Brown Band and Toes.
Got my toes in the water, then the sand. Not a worry and a world of cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today. Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head. I was still in a bag